Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening, and let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless, and we just pray that you'd use this program this evening for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ, Lord, and that people might find Christ as their Savior, and that we might encourage people who are saved to live for you. Father, bless now. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, that's what we like to do here on this program. We like to get your questions, get your thoughts there. And those telephone numbers, 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here. I'm not sure what the weather's going to do out there, but I guess there's supposed to be some nasty stuff coming in here tonight. So if you're on the road, you've got to keep an eye out, watch the weather, see what's happening. And hopefully it won't be as bad as the weather forecasters are expecting. But I didn't have any problems driving in ourselves here this evening. So far, so good here in Northeast Ohio. Well, I was thinking about some things to talk about here this evening, and I had something happen today that I thought would be good to kind of start out with here. We have a responsibility in the Bible. The Bible commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and there's various ways that we do that. Certainly the radio is one of those ways, and another thing we do, we use tracts and flyers and things like that, and after our Friday afternoon radio program this past week, I was in the car and I was driving down the road, and I had some flyers with me, some flyers for our church, and some that I had just printed up the day before called Jesus is the Reason for the Season. And we've developed these flyers. And it's got a picture. There's a Christmas tree on one side, and then there's a nativity on the other side with Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, and going from the tree to the nativity. It says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And as I was looking at that, I had a couple verses underneath it dealing with the birth of Christ and the Christmas story. And then our church information and all that, as well as on the back, we have a gospel track reproduced. And I had some of these in the car, and I thought, you know, this would be a good time here Friday afternoon, got time. I wanted to go out and distribute some of these flyers, try to invite people to church and see what could happen. And I went through this one area in Brecksville, and I've been through there before, but it's been a while since I've been there. I've been there probably three or four times with different flyers over the years, and then also a couple of years ago I had gone through there with some John and Romans and some materials, and never had any problems, never had any difficulties. Nobody seemed to ever get upset. In fact, while I was out there last Friday afternoon, I had three or four people that I saw going through the area. They were walking around as I was putting these flyers out on some of the doors and things. And people said hello. People were friendly. People were cheerful and had no problem. And I went about my business, and then I went home, got ready for our Friday night Bible study, and then went about my weekend. And today during church, we got a telephone call. It was kind of funny because the the president of the condo association, it was condominiums there instead of, I didn't know if it was condominiums or apartments, there really wasn't anything that identified it when I drove in. And the president of the condo association was all upset, left a rather terse message on my phone complaining that I had littered their area with these flyers and that they had to go and remove them because they were everywhere. Oh, they were only on one half of the condos, but that's all I had time to get to. But and I had them tucked in. They were tucked in where the door latches were, and they weren't blowing around or anything. And like I said, I talked to several people. Everybody was nice, friendly, cheerful. Nobody had a problem with me being there. But I'll tell you what, the president of the condo association sure did. She was most upset. I guess she, the way it sounded, almost like she personally had to or designated somebody go around and clean up all that mess that I left behind, according to her. Of course, while I was there, I did see some pizza delivery literature door hangers that were there, and some of them had fallen off down in the ground and everything. And I even saw some Jehovah's Witness materials and all. So it's not like I was the only one that had gone through there. And there were no signs saying that you couldn't do it. She told me, no, you're not allowed to do this. You better not come back, I guess, or else. And it got me to thinking, you ever wonder what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed? You ever wonder where all the commissars went to? I'll tell you where they're at. I think they came to the United States and formed condo associations. That's all I can say. I remember going to visit somebody in a condominium association or a condominium development over in Brunswick one time, and I was asked to come there by somebody. I was going there specifically to see one person. I went there, and let me tell you, I almost couldn't find a place to park. You weren't allowed to park on the street. I parked in what I thought was a visitor parking space. It said visitor parking. And a guy who was out there patrolling with his dog, I think he was walking his dog, but it was more like patrolling. He was quick. He was on me, I think, before I could even get my door open. He said, "Who are you going to visit?" And I told him the name and what unit. And I told him, he goes, "You can't park here." I said, "It was a visitor spot." He said, "Nope. Visitors to that condo unit aren't allowed to park here." "Where am I supposed to park?" "I don't know, but not here." Like I said, the commissars from the Soviet Union, they came and they formed condo associations. If you want to lose your freedom, then go someplace in, where they have a condominium association. You'll lose your freedom real quick. Anyway, that's enough of that. But we do have freedom in this country to go door to door. It's been upheld by the Supreme Court. In fact, and I'm going to get to our calls here in a minute. We got some phone calls coming in, but and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. In fact, the most recent one that I can think of was Staunton versus the Jehovah's Witnesses. Staunton, a little town in the Ohio River in Ohio. The Jehovah's Witnesses were going door to door, and the town passed a law kind of restricting it, and they went all the way to the Supreme Court with it. And the Supreme Court said that going door to door with religious materials, as long as you're not asking for money or anything, is protected free speech under the First Amendment. And Congress can not abridge your freedom of speech or the press. And we had about the same time, Richfield, where I live, put a regulation in place demanding that you get registered and kind of regulating that. And I expressed to the mayor that, you know, this is not really in accordance with the Supreme Court ruling. And I basically was told by the mayor, well, we have expensive lawyers that have an office in the Terminal Tower in downtown Cleveland. I think they know what they're talking about. And I had gotten the opinion from the attorneys at Lighthouse Legal Ministries, and I said, well, I know somebody who deals with civil law, and he's pretty sure that this is an illegal ordinance, that the Richfield Village is running in danger here of being sued. And he said, well, our lawyers know better than yours. I didn't tell him that the lawyer I was talking to had spent several years in Washington, D.C., working for the Civil Rights Commission as an attorney and had argued at the Supreme Court. So he knew what he was talking about. And guess what? The state attorney general shortly after that sent a letter out to all the municipalities in Ohio saying, if you got a law like this on the book, you need to get rid of it before you get sued. And so Richfield Village got rid of theirs, and they thought it was a perfectly good law, and they just couldn't understand why people like me were being unreasonable in regards to it. Well, no, we need to be vigilant. And the cost of, or the price of our freedom is eternal vigilance. And so I encourage you, be vigilant, use your liberties, pursue your liberties, protect your liberties. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have Greg calling in, and Greg, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, talking about blessings and cursings, mm-hmm. I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 11.
Right.
And I come across something that I didn't know the answer to. It kind of starts, you know, you're talking about places. And sometimes places can be an issue with God, it seems, and where he gives a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this in Deuteronomy chapter 11, where it starts like in verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
If I could read it.
Yeah, let's find it here. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 26, you said?
Right, right. But
okay.
where I'm going to is verse 29.
Right.
And in verse 29, it says, "And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal."
Mm-hmm.
And but it starts in verse 26. It says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ehab."
And just, Ebal, yeah.
Ebal. And it struck me, I didn't understand why, that's kind of a difficult question, but why he would put a, you know, just... why a blessing on Gerizim and a curse upon Mount Ebal? He kind of differentiates between the two places.
Yeah, actually, it's not a blessing and a curse on those locations. If you go over a little bit further to chapter 27,
okay.
it actually clarifies that. In chapter 27, if you come down to, and there's some clues to it in chapter 11 there as well, but for time's sake, in chapter 27, it says, let's go down to verse number 11. It says, Deuteronomy 27, verse 11, "And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image or abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen." And see, what he's saying here is that Gerizim and Ebal were close together. There's a valley in between them. Basically, what happened here is that they sent half of the people, representatives of them, up one side of the mountain, the other half up to represent on the other mountain. And when they spoke the cursings here, you know, "Cursed is a man that maketh any graven or molten image." Verse 16, mm-hmm. "Cursed is he that setteth light by his father and mother." And where it says that all the people shall say amen, the ones that were on Mount Ebal, they were the ones who responded to the amen with that. And then when you get into chapter 28, there's the blessings. And so you had people responding, you know, with the amen to the blessings. So they were agreeing to the covenant relationship with God, and they were agreeing that if they obeyed God, if they did what he asked, that God would bless them and God would prosper them and he would take care of them. And if they did not, and they agreed with that by saying amen to the blessing portions, that's what part of them did, and then they agreed also to the cursing portions, that if they disobeyed God, if they went after false gods, and if they engaged in sinful and immoral practices and all that, then they agreed by saying amen to the curses that those curses would come upon them. And that's actually why later on, the Jewish people went out in there into the captivity, the northern kingdom first and then the southern kingdom second. But they went out because of the cursings that their forefathers had agreed to. And God raised up, in the case of the northern kingdom, the Assyrians overrun the northern kingdom and took them captive. And then the Babylonians, in the case of the southern kingdom. And, yeah, so you see the working out of the blessings and the cursings right there.
Okay. And another thought, because of what you said earlier, too, is that I'd like to live in a place where I can obey the commandments of the Lord. The Lord said, go ye therefore in all the nations, you know, baptizing them in the name of the teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And where they restrict you from passing out that literature, it would seem to bring more of a curse than a blessing, because you're distributing God's commands.
Well, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I was thinking in Proverbs chapter 29, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And, you know, the whole idea with government is really to not punish those that do good, but to punish those that do evil. And, you know, we kind of live in a day sometimes where the people who are trying to do right are the ones who seem to get, you know, run afoul of the law. And people who are engaged in just about any sort of immoral, questionable practice, unethical practice, seem to be supported by the law. And it's a shame. But we live in the day when they're calling good evil and evil good.
Yeah, well, we know who the god of this world is.
Well, that's true. The Bible identifies the god of this world as the devil, and that's in the sense that he's a sovereign over this world, thanks to Adam disobeying God. But there's not going to last forever. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will regain sovereignty over the world. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and right now, a sovereignty is temporarily in the hands of the devil. To a certain degree, of course, the devil only operates on a leash. You know, he has a short leash; he can only go so far.
But well, praise God! I'm glad we're not in bondage to him. I mean, to the God of this world, but we're servants of the Lord because we accepted Jesus Christ. So I appreciate your answer.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for your call tonight.
Thank you, sir.
All right, appreciate that, and thanks for that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And I believe we've got John up next. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Boy, it sounds like you're in a lot of trouble in Brooksville.
You know, John, the flesh in me said, I think I'm going to go back Monday and do the other half. But, you know, I try to do a live and let live thing. I'll wait till at least next week. No. You know, no sense needlessly antagonizing people. But I did have the hope that maybe she'll take our flyer to the next condo meeting and hold it up and say, has anybody seen this flyer? Look at this flyer closely. Be on the lookout for it. If you see it, report to me immediately. I might get better coverage than I ever would have before.
Are you sure those people in Brooksville aren't a bunch of Samaritans? You didn't call down fire from heaven, did you?
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't actually talk to the person. They left a message on my phone. Amazing thing is, they didn't call Saturday and they didn't call Friday. They waited until Sunday about the time when we had our church service. So that's when they chose to call. But, yeah, you know, it's live and let live. I mean, one day probably we'll go back there. It's a free country. And, you know, you don't have to fight every fight just because of an opportunity to fight. I'll just wait a little bit. She probably won't be condo president forever unless it is a true dictatorship there, which condo associations, from my opinion, tend to be. But eventually she'll not be condo association president. You know, I'll go back maybe next year sometime and see how things go.
Well, I've tried doing that myself, and I was in contact with the police, and the police said that if people post a no soliciting sign on their door, that if you go to their door, that's considered trespassing.
Correct. Although technically, according to the Supreme Court, what we're doing is not soliciting. Soliciting is asking for money. But I know the idea. And likewise, if you go to a door and it says, and I've seen this before, and probably other people listening have seen this, where it says, you know, something like a night worker, somebody who works the night shift, and so they'll be sleeping during the day, and they'll have a sign there, do not knock or ring the doorbell. You know, I respect that. You know, you don't need to needlessly upset people. You know, the old adage, you draw more flies with honey than vinegar. And, you know, so if the place had been posted, I do plan on going back there to double check, because when I went in, there were no signs that said no soliciting, no anything. There was nothing. And like I said, the Jehovah's Witnesses had been there. I saw some of their material. And a pizza delivery place had been there.
I guess if the owner tells you not to go back.
I mean, she wasn't the owner. She was the condominium association president.
Well, the president.
She was a petty tyrant, but that's my opinion.
If it's the president that tells you not to come back, then if you go back, then that's considered criminal.
But she didn't cite any condominium association rules. She didn't cite. All she said was it was private property. If the owner of the private property tells me, or if the condominium president told me, well, it's against the association rules and the place is clearly posted, then she'd be in the right. But if it is posted, I certainly didn't see it, and nor did I see it any of the other times that I've been in there. And like I said, over the last several years, I've been in there several times, and nobody has ever had a problem. And if it was a big issue, nobody that I met while I was in there had a problem. Everybody was nice, friendly, said, you know, one guy walking his dog up the sidewalk said, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Have a good day. You know, I mean, people were nice. People were friendly.
Well, the police are really cracking down on things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and I support them in that. And I've, on occasion in various places, had police come. I remember one time, and I thank the police for coming this one time. One time I was in an area, this is just purely by coincidence, it was also in Brecksville, and I have nothing against Brecksville. I like Brecksville. I live just south of Brecksville, and our church is right on the line practically. But I know the mayor somewhat, and I actually his mother-in-law actually used to live around the corner from me when I was growing up. And but at any rate, that's beside the point. But what I was going to say is we were in an area, and the school buses came while we were in this area, and a concerned resident saw some adults on the street that she did not recognize while the bus was dropping off kids who were walking to their homes in this development. And rightly so, and I support them in this. I'd have done the same thing. This resident called the police. The police came out. They wanted to know who we were, what we were up to, what we were doing, and we talked with them. And I generally try to avoid going into these areas when the school buses are dropping off children because, you know, in this day and age, you know, you look outside, you see some strange guy out there, strange people out there where your kids are being dropped off the school bus. I'd be worried. And I think most parents would be worried. And, you know, when we do the Lord's work, we, you know, harmless as doves, the Bible says, but also wise as serpents, you gotta engage a little thought process and not needlessly upset people and not put yourself at risk. I saw a guy one time follow some lady who was coming home, and I was trying to tell him not to do it, but he wasn't really listening. But and I wasn't in charge then anyways, but he followed this woman as she parked her car in her garage, and he followed her into the garage as she was and waited for her to get out of the car. Huh. And I said, that's just not smart. That is just not smart. You know, that's just, if I had been that woman in the car and saw some strange man walk in behind me and stand there while I'm getting out of the car, I'd have been afraid. And so well, you got to use a little sense when you do some of this stuff. And
I know the police told me that as long as you're on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. you're safe because the sidewalk is public property.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, you know, just keep your activities on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. And if there's signs, we have, like I said, it's constitutionally protected free speech to be able to go to a door with religious literature. They call it pamphleteering. In fact, the Supreme Court ruling Staunton versus the Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm trying to remember, it was Justice Kennedy, might have been, any rate, who one of them made a big point in the majority opinion of protected free speech includes pamphleteering, which was where also the freedom of the press comes in. And that was a big thing in the colonial days and in the Revolutionary War days, early days of our country, and that is recognized. So, yeah, but you have to use some common sense, just like anything. It's just like in a church, you're not going to put the men in charge of the nursery. And you might have some men in the church that might do a good job in charge of the nursery, but in this day and age, you know, just appearances' sake, that's not something that's wise to do.
It's funny that the Watchtower people are allowed to come to your door, but if you try to go and distribute literature at their hall, they'll call the police on you.
Well, yeah, and if they tell you to leave, you have to. Hey, I'm coming up on the break. We're about out of time here, John. I want to thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
And stay tuned. Got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Phone number is up and running, and you can get your call in here right now, 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza, the home of the homemade pizza, is located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. And you can contact East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself and not sure how to do it, been scared off by some of the high franchise fees, why don't you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. And Gus can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Well, we're getting back to our program here. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can get in 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. I was looking online and saw that the comet Ison, I guess, has broken up. I was really kind of rooting for that one. It was supposed to be possibly one of the most spectacular comets of our lifetime. It was supposed to be visible if it survived its trip around the sun, even in the daylight hours late in the afternoon. And apparently it's broken up. They're trying to find some of the fragments of it. And there is another comet coming in, but we'll see what happens with that. We see these things happening, when we see comets like this come in, people start to wonder, you know, is this signs of the return of Christ? Is this signs of the end? And individual comets aren't. But the Bible does tell us that there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And when you look at it, stars in the Bible included everything from comets to the stars that we normally think of as stars, as well as the planets. In fact, the word for planets meant wandering stars because they seemed to wander out of the regular orbits that the other stars wandered or traveled through the night sky. And comets were actually called hairy stars because it looked like the long hair of a woman trailing behind in the breeze when the tail of the comet was on. So, but at any rate, we just keep watching, see what happens. And I think a lot of stuff that's happening in the Middle East is probably a little more important there. So we talk about those things here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, our Friday program, if you're not aware of it, Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. We do the same thing right here on AM 1220, The Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've got John in Euclid calling in. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, good evening.
Praise the Lord, yeah. I wanted to ask you a question because somebody asked me something today. And So it's in Revelation chapter 20.
All righty, let's get turned over there. Revelation chapter 20, you said?
Yes.
All right.
Well, if you look in verse 4, and, you know, it's the Word of God's talking about the thrones. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. Did not worship the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Right.
So the question came up this way. It said, now, those that were you know, he saw the thrones and they sat upon them, and those, you know, it, the Word of God tells us there, it says they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God.
Right. Those who would have been those that were martyred during the tribulation, probably mostly during the second half of the tribulation when the image of the beast is made and people are beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast and worshiping him as God.
Right. But then, now, here's where the question comes in. It's a little... So not that complicated, I guess, but I mean, okay, so they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Right.
Now, the question was, and then he, verse 5 goes, the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, he was posing the question this way. He says, now, when Christ comes for the 1,000 years, isn't everyone who's saved, you know, he posed it to me this way. Everyone who's saved is going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, right? And I said, yeah. Because that's my understanding, you know, that's what I understood. And then he showed me these verses. He says, now it says, the rest of the dead live not again. Those that were with Christ are the ones who were beheaded during that period, not the rest of the dead. So he's saying, kind of posing it, can you tell, he's saying to me, can you show me in the Word of God where it says, all the saved will be with Christ for that 1,000 years and not just those that were, you know, his contention is, I guess he says,
right, that some might not be there
until the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished.
Well, part of it is because it says that they have part in the first resurrection, and when you look at the definition of the first resurrection, you see that Christ was the first fruits of the first resurrection. See, there were other people in the scriptures who were raised to life. They were, in a sense, resuscitated. They were brought back to life, and they later died again. Jesus was the first of the resurrection. That's why the Bible calls him the firstborn or the first begotten, because he's the firstborn or the first begotten of the dead, and that title's actually used as well. But the first resurrection is defined right there in verse number 5. This is the first resurrection, talking about those that have been raised prior to the rest of the dead that aren't raised until after the 1,000-year period has gone by. And those that are raised in the second resurrection, that's the other ones. But you have, obviously, Jesus as the first, and then there is indication that the Old Testament saints were raised at the time that Jesus was resurrected. There's a couple of obscure passages in the end of the Gospels that mention people seeing the graves opened around Jerusalem and the dead people from the past coming out of the graves. In fact, what's his name? The historian, I'm trying to think of his name.
Josephus,
yeah. He records in there that people saw Old Testament saints, you know, people from the Old Testament, that names that we would be familiar with, that people claimed that they saw them and that many of them came and some of them wandered into Jerusalem and things like that. And there's also some other traditions that people, and we're talking like people like David and Moses and things like that. And so I don't know how much detail we can go into with that, just on some of the sort of sketchy indication in the scripture, but it would appear that that also was part of the first resurrection. And then, of course, at the rapture, the catching away of the believers, that's detailed for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last half there, you see where the dead in Christ rise first. Now, that's not their soul and spirit. That's with the Lord. Paul said today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. The body goes into the grave. The soul and spirit of the believer goes to be with the Lord. And then when Jesus returns in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says he brings the dead in Christ with him. And then it also talks about the dead in Christ being raised. That's because the dead in Christ, soul and spirit, that are in heaven with him right now, come back with him in the clouds. And then the body is resurrected, and they're made complete, body, soul, and spirit. We're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And then those of us who are alive on the earth, the Bible says, will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, indicating it's a very quick transformation. We'll be caught up to be with him in the clouds, and then ascend up into heaven with him. and we will be changed. And then so that's the resurrection for us. And then, of course, people die during the tribulation period for the cause of Christ. And it sounds like your friend is trying to specify that that only the ones who are beheaded during the tribulation are the first resurrection. In reality, these ones that come to Christ during the tribulation, these are kind of the gleanings, because Jesus in the Old Testament corresponds to the first fruits, and then the rapture would be the main harvest. If you think of the harvest that they had, they had the Feast of the First Fruits, honoring when the harvest was starting to come in. And then after that, they had the harvest itself, the main harvest. And anybody that's planted a garden knows that, some stuff, you get some tomatoes out there and the first ones start to ripen and everybody wants them. And then next thing you know, the main crop comes in and everybody gets tired of them. By the time the last of them come in, nobody wants your tomatoes anymore because you've had so many. But there's the first fruits, the main harvest, and then the gleanings, those that are a little slow to ripen that come along later. And that's really kind of who comes along in the tribulation period. If you look for something a little more chapter and verse, go back to Revelation chapter 14. In chapter 14, let's see here, chapter 14 and verse 14, the Bible says this, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped." And then after that, it says another angel, verse 17, came out of the temple, which is heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And the other angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, cry unto him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And it's believed that, he's talking about the two resurrections, in a sense here, the first resurrection there, that first angel bringing the saved out of the tribulation there, and then the second angel gathering together those that have rejected God. And of course that would be to the battle of Armageddon without the city there. So we have all these people, and those people are going to be gathered together. We know that believers who survive the tribulation will go on to populate the millennial reign of Christ. And when Jesus returns in chapter 19, he brings the saved dead with him. Those that have died believing in Christ will accompany him, and I think that'll be the tribulation saints, in addition to the saints of our age of grace, which some people mistakenly call church age. It's really the age of grace or dispensation of grace. But during this time, you know, we die, we go to be in heaven with the Lord, and people during the tribulation that die for the cause of Christ, they're going to go there too. They're going to come back, and they're going to be a part of the first resurrection. The ones that were beheaded for the witness of Christ are a part of them. Let's go back actually to Revelation 20, verse 4, where you started there. It says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. I saw souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Notice there also, there's a comma, and it says, and for the word of God. So here's some people that are martyred for the word of God. It doesn't say necessarily that they were beheaded. It says that they were martyred for the word of God. These are people who, due to their faith in God, they refused to go along with the Antichrist program, and they're martyred. And these could be distinct from those that are beheaded, because this is like a list here. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, comma, here's another group, and for the word of God. Then there's another comma, and another and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So here's actually three groups of people that are going to be a part of the first resurrection right there in verse number 4. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, that's one group. Also, the souls of them that were martyred for the word of God, that's another group. And also the souls of them which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, some of these people could belong to more than one of those groups, but those really are three separate groups. So it's you can't really limit that to just those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't see it that way. I mean, I always read that as though that was telling about the one category.
Yeah, it's a list, yeah.
But I guess maybe there's three separate groups then. Yeah, that's something I really hadn't considered.
Yeah, and so that's one instance there. And then, like I said, you have the others who came back with Jesus there in Revelation chapter 19 in verse number 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself." So it's talking about Jesus, and it says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and we certainly know that's Jesus now. And then in verse 14 it says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And so these are the souls of the believers that have gone on before. Some people limit that just to the believers of the church age. I kind of think it's going to be the believers of the church age, the believers of the Old Testament era, the believers prior to the flood, and also believers that have died during the tribulation. I think this is, as it says, armies. You know, you can kind of look at it. You know, I was in the Air Force, if anybody's was in the Army, pardon me if I mess this up, but we have different types of armies within the U.S. Army. You know, the Third Army, the Eighth Army, things like that. Do you see what I'm saying? They're different.
They're all part of the Army.
Yeah, it's all part of the Army. And you could look at this, the armies of heaven. You know, God's army. There's the pre-flood saints. There's the post-floods but pre-lost saints. There's the saints under the law. There's the saints of the New Testament era, which we live in. There's the saints of the tribulation. And each one of those could be a different army, because it's armies plural. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know, in the Air Force, we had numbered air forces. And so we see this, these major units. And they accompany Jesus. He's the leader. And the amazing thing is, these armies don't fight. Jesus does all the fighting. What they do is they take possession. And, then the millennial reign of Christ is established. And during that time in chapter 20, we have the thrones that are set up and judgment given to them. And we see a number of these people are listed there, those beheaded for the witness of Jesus, those for the word of God, those for who had not worshipped the beast and all that. And these people lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know, we're called to be, you know, rulers with Christ as well. Let me see if I can see this one back. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Peter. Let me run back here real quick. It talks about us ruling with him. First Peter chapter 2, we have a passage here, starts in verse 4, saying, "To whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also," now he's addressing believers, "ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so we're this holy priesthood that's set up to be with him. And then in verse number 9, he says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And there's other passages there, and I'm running short on time here, but there's other passages that talk about us ruling and reigning with Christ as priests, as princes. And so as a result, obviously, we know that the believers of this age are going to rule, and reign with Christ during the millennial kingdom, during that thousand-year reign of Christ. And when you think about that, our faithfulness in this life is going to have a direct impact on the responsibility that God gives us. And Jesus, of course, sitting as the head of this one-world government during the millennial reign of Christ, he'll be the head of that government, but we'll make up parts of that. And if you just think of the United States government, the United States government's huge. And whether you agree it ought to be as big as it is, it's huge. And everybody from the mailman that goes to our church to the president is a member of that government. And when you go into the Social Security office, the person behind the desk, that's an agent of that government. When you see a national park ranger in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, that's an arm of that government. That ranger is a member of that government. When I worked on trails for the United States Forest Service as a college student, I was a member of the United States government. I had a certain amount of authority. I had a certain amount of ability to, in a sense, rule and reign over the trail I was maintaining. And, you know, when I was in the United States Air Force, I was a member of the United States government. I was a part of that. I had responsibilities. And not everybody in the United States government has the responsibility that the president does, or that the Supreme Court justices do, or that the senators or the congressmen have, but they have a measure of that. And in the millennial kingdom, based on our faithfulness in this life, we will be given a measure of responsibility and authority in that millennial kingdom, where we'll rule and reign with him, not just this one individual little group. So, hope that helps out, John. We're coming out of time here, but anything else real quick?
Well, in Revelation chapter 15, it talks about where John, you know, he saw the sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, and the sea of glass having the harps of God. Now, is that again? Well, I mean, they've got the victory over the beast, so that would happen in the tribulation.
And yeah, during the tribulation, obviously, there are going to be people during the tribulation that they will have to overcome. They'll live in very troublesome times. And they will get the victory over him. And it says at one point they loved not their lives unto the death. That's going to be a difficult time to live through. That's why we encourage people to put their faith in Christ now while you still have time. Trust Christ. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. And encourage people that are not sure. I mean, we certainly invite people to visit our church. We invite people to give us a call and find out just what this salvation message is, how they can know for sure that they're saved. John, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the call. And everybody have a great week. God bless. And tune in again next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.